the more I find you. The more I find you, the
more I love you, Lord. Yeah.
The more I
sing that again,
you.
The more I seek you, yeah.
The more I seek you, the more I find you.
The more I find you, Lord.
The more I find you, the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, and feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, and feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming, Lord.
The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you.
Sing it again, the more, the more, the more.
The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, and feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming.
I wanna sit at your feet,
drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, and feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming. Come on, lift up your praise to Him. Lift up your worship. The more I seek you, Lord, the more I seek you. The more I find you. Thank you, Lord. The more I seek you, the more I find you, Jesus. Thank you for your love that's overwhelming, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Father, I pray that you'd wrap those arms of love around every person in this place this morning. Let them know how much you love them, God, how much you care. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. You'll go with us all the way to the end of the age. Oh, praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I wanna sit This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming.
One more time, come on, sing it.
I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, and feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming.
You know what I just heard in my spirit? I heard the Holy Spirit say, tell my people, draw near to me, and I will draw near unto you. How many of you know it takes some effort sometimes to move toward Jesus? Some people have the attitude, well, I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to wait for him to show up. I'll just wait for God to show up. What about taking that step of faith toward him, showing that you want him, you want to be with him, you want to be in his presence? The more I seek you, the more I find you. That means faith. That means action. That means intentionality on our part, doesn't it? You want to find him, you got to seek him. You want to find him, you got to call on him. You want breakthrough, you got to ask him. He said, seek, ask, and you shall find. Seek. You shall find, and knock, and the door shall be open unto you. So you got to put forth the effort. I believe the Holy Spirit's saying, let's lift our hands to him right now and seek him. Everybody in this house, let's seek him. And then I believe he's going to wrap his just loving arms around you. Come on, join me in doing that this morning. We just worship you, Lord, in spirit. We worship you in truth. And we thank you, Lord, for wrapping your arms of love around us. We need you, God. We can't make it without you. We're hungry for you. We're hungry for your presence. Hallelujah. We receive your love. We receive your mercy and your grace. We cry out to you, God, with everything that's within us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Break every chain that holds us back. Destroy those chains and those bondages, Lord, that hold us back in Jesus' name. Break them asunder, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fill this place with your glory, with your presence and your power. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One more time, I want you to cry out and sing it. Sing that chorus.
I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, and feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming.
Thank you, Lord. It's overwhelming. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the name of the Lord. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11 with me. Pastor Tom, if you'll continue to play for a few moments. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read from Luke chapter 11 and Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence. Everybody say persistence. Yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Praise God. And in Luke chapter 18, 8 verses of scripture here, then he spoke a parable to them that men ought to always pray and not lose heart. Verse 2, saying there was a certain judge in a city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Oh, I feel the Spirit of the Lord. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will you stretch your hand toward me today and pray with me? I want to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you for your presence. And I thank you for your Word. And I'm asking that your Word, Lord, would just meet us where we are today. Father, that's the beauty that of your Holy Spirit. Your Spirit is able to take this word that goes forth and apply it to every single heart and life according to where they are individually on this journey. And I pray that your Spirit would speak to them. You would speak through me. I pray that my words would be the words that come from heaven. I pray, Lord, that you'd block from my mind any word that doesn't need to be said. And I pray that you would help me to say everything that you're wanting me to say. Speak through me. I just make myself available as a mouthpiece and a spokesman for your praise and glory. Father, I pray that your people would be uplifted and that your kingdom would be advanced today. It's in the name of Jesus. I pray all these things, and everybody said, amen. Thank you for your prayers. You may be seated. Since the beginning of the year, I've been focusing on what I feel the Spirit of the Lord has prompted me to lead us into outreach, into winning the lost, into soul winning, into being light in the midst of the darkness. How many of you know that God has called every one of us to get involved in the Great Commission? Every single one of us. And I've been sharing that message with you. That's a burden that's on my heart. But I also feel like this week, as I was preparing and I was praying, I feel that the Holy Spirit has gripped my heart to and reminded me that in order for us to accomplish these goals, in order for us to accomplish the Great Commission, we must continue to make, we must be reminded and we must continue to make prayer a priority. Prayer must be the foundation of our lives individually, and prayer must be the foundation of the church. And I'm not just talking about a little bit of prayer and praying, you know, just maybe a day or so, but I'm talking about ongoing, consistent, persistent prayer. I'm telling you, because the enemy is persistent and the powers of darkness are persistent and the enemy is wreaking havoc in the world today, I'm telling you, it's time for the church to get back on its face again in prayer and really seek the face of God until we have heard from heaven, until God has begun to move in our midst like we haven't felt in a long time, and to know that God is moving, that God is working on our behalf. It's time for the church to get back to praying again with that kind of persistence and that kind of faith. You know, I'm thinking about how Brother Kevin on Sunday night, those of you who were here, what a wonderful message he shared with us about faith. As he began to talk about, you know, faith is not inactive. Faith has, you know, it's not comfortable. Faith will get you out of your comfort zone. I heard one amen out of that. I said, faith will get you out of your comfort zone. If you don't, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please him, because he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How many of you know that faith has action associated with it? So as we say, I'm waiting upon the Lord and I'm waiting for God to move, how many of you know that that waiting upon the Lord does not suggest that you need just to sit on your laurels and do nothing? That's not the kind of waiting that we see in Scripture. The kind of waiting that you see in Scripture is participatory. It's action-oriented. I mean, every time you see Jesus performing miracles in people's lives, as you read the New Testament, there was always some kind of action that was associated with it. I mean, to the woman who had the issue of blood, I mean, she could have just said, you know, I've spent everything I have for 12 long years. I've gone to every doctor in town and nothing has changed. But when she finally said, I'm tired of nothing happening, I'm tired of nothing changing, something has to be done, I can't just do the things I've always done and expect to get a different result, so I've got to do something different. And so when she heard about Jesus, she said, I've got to take some steps of faith, I've got to do something different than I've done before. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she pressed through the crowd. I'm here to tell you this morning, you've got to take a step of faith. I mean, the lepers, if it, you know, they wanted to be cleansed from their leprosy, but the Bible says Jesus said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were healed. I'm here to tell you, if they hadn't taken the step of faith and gone and shown themselves to the priest and done what Jesus had said, they would still have, they would remain in their leprosy. There would have been no healing. I'm here to tell you today, we've got to take a step of faith. While we are waiting, we have got to do what God has called us to do. I read this week a post that really has spoken to me. My wife actually shared it on Facebook, and it has been my theme this week, and some of you might have seen it. It's a quote by Anne Voskamp, and she says it this way, in the wait. Anybody got something that you're waiting on God to do? Come on, raise your hand. If you're needing God to move in some way, you're waiting upon a breakthrough, you're waiting upon an answer, you're waiting upon an intervention from God of some sort, raise your hand. Okay, this is a word for you. Listen, in the wait, whatever you lose, don't lose heart. You never lose what lasts forever. You've got to believe it. Whatever is being lost momentarily, more is being gained eternally. In the wait, if you shift the way you see and see that the wait could come, could make you into the person you've been waiting to become. If you're waiting on God, do what waiters do, serve. Break free of your comfort zone. and do something. Touch someone, give something, help someone, pray for someone, serve someone, be the gift for someone. You can't be a world changer until you serve. In serving, you are served a feast of what you're longing for, because the one who loves you steadfastly stood fast at the cross for you, so now stand fast for him. So waiting in the scripture does not mean sitting around and doing nothing about your situation. It means I'm going to do something different than I've been doing before. And I'm going to reach out. I'm going to touch someone. I'm going to pray for someone. I'm going to witness to the lost. I'm going to get my tracks ready, and I'm going to show somebody how to come to Jesus. I'm going to believe with somebody for healing in their body. I'm going to believe with somebody for healing in their marriage. I'm going to serve somebody. I'm going to take up my towel and serve. I'm not just going to sit around and woe is me, and I can't believe I'm sick, and I can't believe this has happened to me, and I can't believe these situations and circumstances in my life. I'm here to tell you, when you start getting in that situation, it's time to do something to help somebody else. Get out of your comfort zone. Go to a nursing home somewhere and pray for somebody who's laying in the bed. There's always somebody worse off than you. There's always some kind of circumstance that is worse than yours. So why don't you thank God for where you are and let God use this time of waiting to speak to you and change your heart. Oh, hallelujah. While I'm waiting, I'm going to serve. While I'm waiting, I'm going to help somebody. While I'm waiting, I'm going to pray for somebody in need. While I'm waiting, I'm going to help somebody that needs help. Sometimes it's just a kind word. Sometimes somebody needs something physical. They may need food. They may need something financial. How many know that God has blessed us to be a blessing? Touch somebody. Touch somebody. Hallelujah. So I think about this attitude of service and this attitude of persistence, this attitude of not giving up as it relates to prayer. And if you go over with me to Luke 18 again, think about what Jesus said. Men ought to always pray and not lose heart. Actually, before I go there, I want to share this with you relative to Luke chapter 11. I told you last week I've been reading 40 Days with Jesus, Encountering Jesus in the Gospels. This is a wonderful resource. I encourage you to get a hold of this by Russell Board. Regarding Luke 11, look at this, or listen to this quote from Russell. After this brief lesson, Jesus offers an explanation to his disciples to persist in prayer, using an example that showcases the hospitality that is so highly valued in the Middle Eastern culture. When a traveling friend arrives at midnight, the householder has an obligation to provide food for him. Lacking bread himself, the man goes next door and asks his neighbor for what is needed, counting on his friend's hospitality in the same way that the traveler had counted on his. At first he is refused, his neighbor is already in bed, everything is locked up, and he does not want to be disturbed. Friend or not, the request is troublesome, even unreasonable. Yet the man keeps on knocking and asking, and his bold persistence eventually pays off. The story plants a graphic image in the disciples' minds, one that illustrates a key lesson. The answer to prayer may not come immediately. The answer to prayer may not come immediately. That's hard for us to accept in this microwave generation, this Wi-Fi generation, this Google generation. We have information at our fingertips in just a moment, just a second of time, right? Your answer to prayer may not come immediately, but this is no reason to give up or to stop praying. Jesus wants us to understand that God does not see our persistence as an annoyance or a rude imposition, but a sign of earnestness and steadfast hope. How many of you have ever heard the theology conveyed that once you have prayed about something, once you have told God about it, no need to ask Him anymore because He might get tired of hearing that and you might just wear God out. How many of you ever heard that kind of theology before? I mean, once you prayed about it, don't pray about it no more. That is not scriptural. That's not scriptural. I don't care if your grandma told you that, if your great-grandma told you that. It ain't scriptural. I'm sorry to go against great-grandma, I really am. But the Word of God says, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Jesus follows up with a story of this threefold imperative. What He means by ask is don't be timid. Don't be timid, but don't be presumptuous either. Present your request to God with boldness and with humility. Isn't that what He told us in the book of Hebrews? Come boldly into the throne of grace that you might find mercy and find help in the time of need. We need to come boldly. Why? Because the veil has been torn in two from top to bottom, and we now have free access into His presence. We don't have to go through a priest anymore to get our prayer request answered. We are priests and kings before God. And He says that we can come anytime we want to unto the throne of grace. But when we come, we need to come with humility because you don't have what it takes in and of yourself. It's the righteousness of Jesus that makes you worthy. It's the blood of Jesus that has cleansed you. So